Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lanin for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Small business is the backbone of Canadian society. I've always believed this, and I was raised hearing that statement in my family and among friends. I think people also believe it. Given their work ethic and dedication to their business, I think it just might be the truth. It's an amazing truth, and I'm amazed at what it takes to be successful in business. The dedication and the hard work of many people. When I think of small business, I think of many things, but one of my favorite is the micro enterprise. And I guess that is a small business, usually headed by a single person with support from family and friends. And they own a small business with a couple of employees, and they have one or two rental properties possibly. And they own service company where they sell professional services independently. Maybe they write articles or books and they do some training and they get paid for it. They buy and sell stuff, the things that they find every day, and then maybe they post it online and just to pick up a few extra dollars. And they do those kind of things too. The micro enterprise, or they are running a micro enterprise, and they are a micro entrepreneur with multiple streams of income. Maybe you know somebody like this. Maybe you are that person. They're just striving to stay ahead and making what they need to survive or to thrive. It is a person who gets the thrill out of being independent, maybe, possibly, and yet they can't do it alone. They know that success comes from engaging people and people at all sorts of levels. They get involved in local organizations and they see the public in a variety of different places. Every day they try to bring their A game to work and everything they do, and they know what they need to do in order to be successful. When I think of my guest today, this very day, I think of a micro entrepreneur, the micro enterprise, who supports business on many, many levels. They work to make it happen each day. And I think they are part of the backbone of this great country, Canada, and the world's economy, and also for Manitoba and for Winnipeg. So I'd like you to welcome right now Art Alexander to my show.
Thanks, Richard. It's great to be here.
It's always great to have you on Set for Success. I know you've been on a few times with me and a few different stories. Yes, you do need to say something when I say that.
The last time I was here, I was so overwhelmed by the fact that I'm in your presence and getting set for success myself.
you're always like that. All right, you know what? Let's start off with a little bit of your history and that. So, just in case our listeners don't know who you are, they haven't heard of you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, for many years, 14 years, I was a sales manager at the Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce, and people oftentimes know me from Chamber event, whether it's a Winnipeg Chamber or the Manitoba Chamber, and the various networking opportunities that come my way, that I'm there and people see me through that venue.
Yeah. And I think you were involved in real estate at one point in time, too, if I remember your history a little bit.
Yep. 100 years ago, I did sell real estate when the earth was still flat.
Yeah.
So it made it very easy sale for me. But yeah, I am involved. I do have some properties.
And you're presently involved in real estate too. I opened up by talking a bit about the entrepreneur and the micro enterprise. And I want to take this opportunity to celebrate the micro enterprise, because you're a man who actually has several businesses on the go at one time. So maybe that's a good place to start. Tell our listeners a little bit about the types of businesses that you have.
Well, I own a business called Instant Imprints in St. Vitale, where we do signs and banners and corporate wear and promotional products and something that everybody needs. So it's a great business. I have a few staff over there that are making it happen, and I try to stay out of their way, which they like. So it's an exciting time to help businesses grow and get the exposure that they need through the products that we can provide. And that's an Instant Imprint in St. Vitale.
That's one of them. So what's the other stuff you're involved in?
Then I do speaking and training. I'm a John Maxwell certified trainer. If you don't know who John is, John is the number one leadership guru. You'll see him. He's written 80 books. You've seen him on YouTube. You've seen him on live shows. But John is out there, and I'm a certified trainer for John.
Okay.
And it's an exciting time to be a part of the leadership training.
And
side.
What's the other thing that you do? I know you got real estate, rental properties.
Rental, real estate, speaking. So the real estate side of life is a big part, is a part of it. Well, the training side of life and the Instant Imprints. Those would be the three at the moment that I'm trying to juggle.
And that's a good way to put it, actually, that you're trying to juggle, right?
Yes, sir.
So maybe that's a good place that we can go, sort of jump off in terms of questioning. For the micro entrepreneur, for the entrepreneur, right? I'm going to call it micro entrepreneur because there's different entrepreneurs at different levels, right?
Yep.
We could talk about Richard Branson, and he would be, I don't know if you call him a macro entrepreneur, but I mean fairly significant, big business and everything. But I think, I do believe that the backbone of our economy is the micro entrepreneur. It's the small business owner that either owns one small company or multiple things. What are, for the micro entrepreneur from your perspective, what are some of the, what is the, some of the key challenges that you have on a day-to-day basis?
Well, one of the challenges certainly is making sure there's processes that are in place to follow. So if you have a good process in your business, whether it's the instant imprint in St. Vital or if it's our, my speaking business or whatever, or making widgets, if you have a good process in place, that's a good start. Of course, if you have good people, that is helpful. And getting the right people at the right time is very important. And it doesn't always happen as fast as you would like. So getting, having the process and people in place is always good. And then, of course, the product. So really the three P's, process, people, and product. And if your product, if people are coming back to order your product or buying your product, whether it's widgets or embroidery on shirts, whatever it might be, then you have a successful business. But you always are working on the three and juggling the three and making sure and fine-tuning the processes and make sure we did that right.
Okay, so, you know, I think that's actually a good place to start because it's great to say good processes, but the question then becomes, well, what do you mean by that? Like, when you're talking about having good processes, what kind of processes are you talking about?
Well, in our shop there at on St. Mary's Road, where that is?
We got that down.
Furiously just plugging that thing.
Yeah.
It's no different than when Richard Branson, when he started Virgin, the way that I heard the story, that he started Virgin Air, was he was bumped. Him and a number of people were bumped from a flight.
Yeah.
And he had an idea. I'm going down the hall. I'm going to rent a plane.
Yes.
So the process to start might be the ideas that you have in your brain on that Monday morning or that Sunday night when you're getting ready for the next day. So process from in our situation is making sure it flows. What's the best? Why are we doing it this way? Why is that one machine 20 feet away from the guy who's working the machines? Why is that? Why can't we just move the machine closer so he doesn't have to get up and move around? So it's the process from taking an order to getting it out the door and all the steps in between. So it doesn't matter if it's a shirt or if it's selling widgets or even cars.
So just making sure you have a process in place. It's interesting that you would actually use that one as the example because there's a word called Kaizen. It's a Japanese word, and it talks about waste and waste of motion and actually how it impacts a business. And,
yes, sir.
And that's one of the things, and it's like there's seven principles of Kaizen. Hopefully somebody's going to check it now and make sure off the top of my head. But I know one of them is waste of motion. So actually having equipment closer to your employees so that they can work more efficiently and be far more productive sounds like something that's important for maybe a small business owner to do.
Exactly. And having all the products you need. We don't want to be running out of ink halfway through a big job.
Yeah.
Right? Or we don't want to run out of thread.
All the way through.
When you're halfway through a big embroidery job in the back of a jacket, you got to do 20 more jackets.
Yeah, you want to make sure you have the supplies. We got to take a short break. We'll come back and talk, jump off from the area of small business and considering your supplies and the things that you need to have in place to make things happen. It's Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Art Alexander, a person that's known in our local economy. And Art, you know, you and I were talking a bit about small business and that, and you were talking about process and the importance of making sure you have the supplies in place. As a small business owner, have you found times that you've struggled with having the right processes in place and having the supplies you need to actually deliver to a customer? Have those challenges come up?
Yes, those challenges have come up, and I'm trying to minimize them, but they have come up, and then panic sets in. You thought you had it covered. You thought you had that extra cartridge of ink, or you thought you had the lawyers on holidays. The lawyers on holidays, and I needed to get something signed off. So the pressure, and I thought when I worked at the chamber and I met hundreds and hundreds of business people, I thought I knew the kind of pressures they went through. But no, I didn't have an idea, or a full idea. Being on this side of the desk, I see it differently. From the cash flow situation, from the product situation, from making it happen, from the staffing. So I have a better appreciation for the small business entrepreneur for sure.
Yeah, so that's been something that's really quite developed in terms of actually owning your own company.
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting you would say that, but out of curiosity, would you go back to working for somebody, or are you now like totally, I'm an entrepreneur and that's the space I'm going to stay?
In the various jobs that I had, but in the sales, my sales life, if you will,
yeah,
I felt I was an entrepreneur. I felt like I owned that business. I owned me because I was the boss of me, if you will. And so I looked at it, even though I had great presence of company that I reported to, I was in a growing position. But yeah, I would do that. I mean, every situation is different.
Yeah.
Opportunities are different, and what you bring to the table are different. So if you want to grow you or grow your business, grow yourself, and that's what I had a mindset to do.
Yeah, so whether you're working for yourself or working for somebody else is irrelevant. You can focus in on growing yourself. You've told me so many stories during your break. I mean, we were talking a little bit about your parking incident. Do we want to do that, or we want to talk about Joe Fraser? Like, where do you want to go? I got to talk about the parking incident. But what happened? Your parking.
The parking.
How'd you learn that?
I'm an awesome driver. I'll just tell you right now. I'm an awesome driver. So I was going to a meeting downtown, and it was just going to be a short 10-minute meeting. So I thought I would just park in the. I thought I'd pay for parking, but I saw a spot in the loading zone. Right in front of the place where I was going. So I wheeled my car. The spot opened up. I wheeled my car in there, and I parallel parked perfectly. The car behind me was a police car.
Yeah.
And the space was kind of tight.
Yeah.
But I wheeled in there so well. I got out, and I was looking at it. Just as I'm looking at it, the policeman showed up.
Yeah.
And we're both standing looking at the cars, and you couldn't slide, Richard. You couldn't slide a piece of paper between my car and his. That's how tight it was.
Yeah.
I didn't touch his car.
Yeah.
He says to me, that's a $35,000 camera on the front of that car. I said, well, it looks good. It looks good. I didn't touch it. And he said to me, I'll determine if it's good or not. I looked at him. He looked at me. I went in for my meeting. I was sweating buckets, but I didn't touch this car, but I was so convinced. I was unbelievable in my driving skills that I was kind of excited and proud, but I thought he was sitting there waiting to give me a ticket, but he didn't, because he knew. It was an awesome job.
It's an awesome job. So what are you saying? Always do an awesome job?
Make sure you do parallel parking correctly.
Now, how's that a fit?
I had no camera, no beeping on this particular car I was driving at that day. But he said, I'll determine. And how often have we done that to clients?
Yeah.
I'll determine if it's good.
Yeah.
Well, no, we got to work together here.
And make sure that it's good together.
Yes, sir.
That's an interesting story. You might want to work on a little bit there.
Yeah. only have 8 minutes, so I can't tell you the rest of the story.
Yeah. Well, we'll go there. Yeah. Well, at least you didn't get a ticket. Joe Fraser. You actually met Joe Fraser.
Smokin' Joe.
Smokin' Joe.
I met him in Vegas.
Yeah.
But he has a great line. I met him in Vegas a number of years ago. But he said, you can map out a fight or even a plan for your life. You can map it all out. But when the action starts, you're down to your reflexes. Mm-hmm. And when you're down to reflexes, that's where the road work shows. If you cheat on your road work in the dark of the morning, you're found out under the bright lights.
No, that's right. Interesting. So what's the moral of that story? What does that teach us as business owners or as a micro entrepreneur yourself? What did you learn from that?
Yeah. Plan. Plan for yourself. Grow yourself. If you want to grow your business, Richard, grow yourself. We don't determine if you're working for Mr. Jones, the president of the company, right? You don't say, well, that's all they pay me. No, that's all they pay you at the moment. They could pay you more.
Yeah.
Because someone makes more than minimum wage at your job, don't they? Yeah, they do. They do. Well, then you got to grow yourself. Become more valuable to the organization. So you can't cheat on your training. You can't cheat on your exercise. You can't cheat on the food you eat. You can't cheat on all these things and not be shown in the light of the bright lights.
Okay. Yeah. So basically the training, no matter what you're looking to do. Well, I hear a couple of things, right? I hear one hand plan, right? And actually have a plan or execution, something that you're going to do. And it's great to have a plan, but make sure you implement it. But then in terms of that, make sure that you're training yourself along the way so that hopefully from a boxer analogy, good reflexes kick in, right? So that you're...
It's just natural. Winning.
It's just very natural.
Now, you wouldn't know it by looking at me. Like, I was a Taekwondo individual. I took Taekwondo. Yes.
How many years did you do that for?
Well, I have a blue belt.
Okay.
But I also have a canvas belt.
Yeah, okay.
But it does, and I'm not a black belt, but the idea of what I've heard from other experts is that it's a reflex. It's just, you close your eyes. It's just like when now you drive your car, you're not worried about stick shift and clutch and brake, and it's just automatic.
You've been driving forever.
Yeah. It's just automatic.
Yeah.
And in business, you learn some skills, just become automatic.
Yeah.
And if you learn some people skills, whether you take a DISC program with me and learn your people skills, it doesn't matter. It just becomes automatic.
Yeah, and that's probably what you want to do. I myself, I understand that, and probably a lot of our listeners understand that too. Use the car analogy, and the car analogy is always such a great one, because when we're 16 or whatever age it is, we learn how to drive a car, there's a lot that goes into it, and we got to think about it. And as you become adults, you become a better driver, hopefully. You don't really think about it. But if you've ever had to train a 16-year-old how to actually drive a car, it can be very frustrating because there's just too much coming at them at one time, right?
Well, the reason that the parallel parking was important,
yeah,
I taught my daughters and my son how to drive as best it is. But my daughter, my youngest, had failed her parallel parking a couple times.
Yeah.
So my friend, who is a policeman, says, Art, I'll teach her the skills. So I learned from watching him and listening to him tell my daughter how to parallel park, and that's why I'm such an awesome fellow partner today.
All intuitive. It's all intuitive.
Yes, sir.
We got to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Art about being a micro entrepreneur and some of the lessons that he's learned along his road, his journey. This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am sitting here talking to a entrepreneur and micro enterprise owner who has lots of thoughts in terms of what you can do to be successful as a small business owner, especially as a micro entrepreneur. And so, Art, during the break, you and I were talking a little bit about some of the questions, right, that you can often ask in business. And I know that you mentioned that you have these seven questions that you often like to ask the either clients or even maybe of your own business to sort of make sure you continue to be focused and et cetera, right? So I'm looking for another word there. Et cetera works just fine. So let's start off there. Like, what are some of the questions that you deem are really important in business?
Well, Richard, some of these questions I learned from John Maxwell, and which he asks presidents of countries or even asks of
companies.
Of companies and countries.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's one for you. If you want to grow yourself and someone is further along in your business or in your career in that sense, who is ahead of you? Take them to lunch.
Yeah.
Let me encourage you to take them to lunch and ask them a couple questions. Or here's seven, but I'll give you a couple at the moment. Here's number one. What is the greatest lesson you've learned?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. So let me throw that back to you. So what is the greatest lesson you've ever learned in your entrepreneurial activities?
Well, one great lesson I have learned, and it sticks in my head, I haven't always done it right. My dad says, if you make $1 million and you spend $1,000,001, that's not going to work for you.
No.
That's not going to work.
Yeah, so that's a lesson learned.
Yeah, lesson learned, I'll tell you right now. You know, have a budget, work, you know, financial, have the financial people in place. For sure.
Yeah.
But that's one great lesson. But the other quick lesson is know the people around you. Have an inner circle. Have people around you who care for you, trust you, who trust in you and you trust them and who have your best at heart, right? They're your inner circle. They're your mastermind group. They're the ones that you can trust and you go to when you're going to need to bounce something serious off of. You need to have an inner circle.
Do you have an inner circle that you work with at this present time?
I have a few guys and gals that in that inner circle that I can trust.
Yeah.
And who have my best interest and won't sugarcoat it and will come alongside and say, Art, that's the way you respond to that particular person, or that's not really a good idea, or you weren't very kind when you spoke to that waiter or waitress. You know, so they come at all angles. It's not just a business meeting. It's like, they become your friends and they become ones who you trust, and you need that trusted inner circle.
I know that I was doing a presentation quite recently on making better business decisions. And one of the points in that was, and I can't remember the term that I used, but actually having people in that inner circle that don't have a direct invested interest in what's going on. So they're able to actually give you a point of view that you may not see. Right? They can give you the pros and cons, the good, bad, and the unexpected. And so sometimes that is something that really works in terms of just looking at your business overall. Give me another one of these questions there, Art.
Here's another question for you that when you take someone to lunch or take Richard to lunch, here's a question. What are you learning now?
What are you learning now? So that's one of the key questions that you would actually ask. So,
and wisdom, Richard, wisdom is a result of experience.
Who's interviewing who here?
Wisdom is a result of experience.
Like, yeah, okay.
So, and it's John wrote a book called Sometimes You Win,
yeah.
Sometimes You Learn.
Yeah, you're obviously a big John Maxwell.
I'm a
supporter.
Certified trainer with
yeah,
John.
Yeah, so the, you're doing that.
But
so,
that's very key. If you get, you got to learn from the lessons.
So okay, so what have you learned? So if we look at your lessons learned in your business, I agree with that. I mean, lessons learned are so important, and we don't take time to actually write them down or capture them,
yes.
You know, and I think that's very true. And I do know working with lots of different clients that that's an issue. So if I throw that back at you, what are some of the lessons learned that you have gotten in being a micro entrepreneur?
Well, let me just preface that by asking the question back. When is the last time you learned something for the first time?
Yeah, okay.
But what am I learning right now? When I mentioned process and people and product, the process, right now the process, Richard, in a couple of items that we're working on is very important.
Yeah.
Process is important, and I'm not the best at it, but I'm trying to bring some people around that can help me with the processes. Yes, sir.
So that's a lesson learned for you,
yeah.
That you're actually working on those right now. Okay. So I mean, there's lots of things you can actually learn in terms of a business type of environment, okay? And we look at your organization. I mean, we've been talking a little bit about just some of the questions and everything that you like to ask other business leaders or other entrepreneurs when you're working with them. What's one of the other ones?
Here's a great one. When you're sitting down with the president of a company,
yeah,
or somebody's gone further than you, how has failure shaped your life?
Oh, well, that's actually a really great question because, I mean, often we think in terms of we fail more times than we succeed, but yet people hide their failure. What are your thoughts on that?
These questions and that one particular, how has failure shaped your life?
Yeah.
And as you learn from it, like some, oh, gee, I lost $100,000, or I lost that business, or what did you learn from it?
Yeah.
What are the things that you can pull out of there? Yeah, that was bad, or that situation. What did you learn from it? And I think that part of it is character. And you and I know people, you know, with character stand out. You see them. You can tell when they're in the room. It's almost like it exudes off them. Those are the kind of people you want to be around. And those who have reflected, and reflection is very important, and reflecting on the times you haven't succeeded in certain areas.
Yeah, it's interesting you would say that because I find that people who have learned from their business, they empathize more with others, right? If they have failed, right, they recognize and they acknowledge their failures, but then when somebody else fails them around them, they don't shoot them down, right? They and you're talking about character, they prop them up, right? Mm-hmm. They help them out. And I've met a lot of small business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs that's exactly what they do. They recognize the challenges and they prop them up. Anybody in your life has ever propped you up?
Yes. As a matter of fact, his birthday is today and I got to call him. So he lives in Ontario. So we call each other every year for the last 30 years. We don't see each other on our birthdays for sure. So I got to call my friend Bob on his birthday today.
Yeah,
so
okay.
He has certainly encouraged me from 1,500 miles away.
From 1,500 miles away. In what way has he propped you up over time?
Well, two, he believes in me.
Yeah, okay.
He challenges me, and he wants the best for me. So he asks some of those good questions. And I may only hear from him once a year, or when he comes to town, or if I go to Toronto to do business. Or I see, and he asks me those kinds of questions. How are you doing? Here's the thing. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine.
I know. Everybody says that, right? It's automatic response.
But I would say, you know, what if I asked your wife? What would she say? Oh, he's not doing that good.
ask somebody else how they're doing, and they actually might tell you the truth.
Yes, sir.
I often say to my wife, okay, please don't tell anybody this. But I'm sure all spouses have done that at some point.
Let me give you one other quick question
here. Go for it.
When you're talking to somebody, and these work in a networking when you're off by yourself.
Sure. I think
who do you know that I should know? Question number four. Who do you know that I should know?
That's actually a pretty good question. So have you ever asked that one?
Yep. But let me give you the background to that story.
Yeah.
Is when John was chatting, John Maxwell was talking to a fellow that he knows, and he says, he asked the school teacher, he was a school teacher, taught high school, who do you know that I should know? And he says, I know Lou Holtz, the famous football coach. Would you like to meet him?
Yeah.
Would I like to meet him? Yeah. And so he met him, and Lou became one of John's mentors at that point. But it's because he asked the question, who do you know?
Who do you know that I should know? No, that's actually pretty good.
That's pretty good. Number four out of the seven. And these seven questions, what I've put together in a talk, if I'm doing a keynote talk, these are some of the seven that I would certainly bring out and help the entrepreneur, help the business guy learn from.
So I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you, who do you know that I should know? This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Art Alexander, a local entrepreneur, and we've been having a little bit of fun with asking questions back and forth, some questions that he's has come across and uses in terms of his business and working with people. Now, Art, just before our break, we were talking about who do you know that I should know? And you're sharing a story about one of your mentors and how he's used that question. So I'm going to throw that back to you. Like, who do you know that I should know? We're going to do it right on air here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't leave me blank, though, and hanging, though.
Who do I know that you should know? Well, maybe the president of the chamber. Do you know Lauren Remillard?
I've not met Lauren, actually.
Lauren Remillard is a good man to know. He's the president of the Winnipeg Chamber. Or Chuck Davidson, he's the president of the Manitoba Chamber. Those are two guys that you should connect to, two business guys who are making it happen.
So that's a really good question to ask, right? I mean, just right there, I asked the question and ended up getting two sort of answers from you right away.
Yeah. And there's context, because you say, who do I know that you should know? Well, maybe in the business side of life, or maybe it's in the car mechanic side of life. Like, but who do I know? Because I have a sphere, and you have a sphere. We could do the back and forth.
It's interesting you would say the mechanics part of life, because one of the things I've transitioned to is using a backyard mechanic. Like, I'm always looking for micro entrepreneurs and people to work with and stuff. And that's exactly how you find out, right? You just say to somebody, listen, I'm looking for a mechanic. Who do you know that I should know? And they tell you. So why not do that in business too, right?
And I have a great mechanic. Get About Auto, Carl. Get About Auto. I'm at Phillips. He's great.
You're all about plugging. Let's be careful with that, okay? Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about some of these questions, right? I know that, I know some of the other questions, but because we've sort of gone through them a little bit, but tell me another question that actually works.
Number five would be, what have you read that I should read?
Oh, okay. So are you an avid reader there?
I'm a reader. My wife is an avid reader.
Okay.
And she's got a great line. I recommend this book.
I recommend this book.
She reads a lot. She's great. And she helps me because she's great with the book, great with her English. So she's fantastic. And that's my bride.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good question to ask him. As a matter of fact, I can't remember the book he suggested, but I asked the president of Great West Life when I was at an event. And I asked him a question. And he said, well, on my nightstand, I have this particular book. So, of course, one of the classics that I do like to read is Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
Classic book.
Great book. Great book.
Yeah. Or The Wealthiest Man in Babylon.
Great book. I think everybody should, The Wealthiest Man in Babylon, everybody should read that book.
And Carnegie's book, of course, How to Win Friends, Influence People.
Yeah, that's
a good one.
There's lots of great books out there.
But that's a question of growth.
Yeah.
I
also think everybody should read Who Stole My Cheese. I think it's an easy read,
Ken
real
Blanchard.
Quick. Yeah, Ken Blanchard book, and all about change and transition and everything. So, I mean, there's lots of really great books that people should read when it comes to
And you can get them at the library.
Themselves.
Yeah. Some of them get at a library, and they're free. So if you don't have a library card, go get one.
Yeah.
And Jim Rohn said that to me. If you don't, and I had a library card, but he said, if people don't have a library card, they should go get one.
Yeah.
It's
free. You either find it online or you don't have to buy everything, right?
Yes, sir.
So, and you can actually go get it and read it. Or, you know, what the other thing is too, and I think this is good to lay out for people, you know, what's wrong with an audiobook? I get busy, you know, I'm driving in my vehicle or what have you, and I listen to a book. You know, I got a long haul to go on. I'm going to be an hour driving from point A to point B, and, you know, so you can do it that way. So I like these little tips for people, and maybe they can do them.
The last book I just read, Gary Vaynerchuk's book. I don't know if you know Gary, but Gary V, you'll find him online. But he wrote three books. And the last one I Jab, 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 Right Hook.
Oh, yeah, Jab, 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 Right Hook. Never read it.
It's a great book. You can get it in the library.
Yeah, it's another book. Or you can buy it and pick it up online.
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Okay, so since we've been going through some of these questions, I'm having fun with these, actually. Give us another one.
Number six is, what have you done that I should do?
Okay.
Because your experiences have impact on you.
And you've learned from them.
And you've learned from it. You can be helpful to me.
So now I'm throwing it back to you. So, Art, share something with me that myself or the listeners, what have you done that maybe I should consider doing? I'm going to put the word consider doing in there.
When was the last time you went to the museum?
Oh, that's been a while. That's been a while. Right. I think probably when my kids were young.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's two. Well, here, of course.
Sorry, Winnipeg. I have to admit that.
In Winnipeg, we have the Human Rights Museum, which
yeah,
is.
We got a couple of museums.
And we, of course, we have the, you know, the art gallery. And so we have a few museums.
Oh, we
here.
Have great cultural.
But by
icons.
Going to the museum, it broadens your perspective. It gives you time to reflect on things, certainly at the Human Rights Museum.
Yeah.
So I would say get to a museum. What I haven't done is actually done to, like in the States, I haven't gone to a presidential museum.
Okay.
That would, like, you know, where they have all the books and all the, that would be interesting.
That'd be fascinating.
Yeah,
especially
or go
if
to Washington and see all the museums they have there.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, it's such an important one. See, and I was thinking things like, you know, jumping out of an airplane or
right.
going for a motorcycle ride at, you know, down the highway in open area space or jamming with your friends with guitars.
Yes.
Like, that is the stuff that I do, right? So it's interesting to get it from another person's perspective as to what they actually see
yeah.
when it comes to those
or
kind of
things.
Or
where have you been that I haven't been?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Maybe you've never been to Haiti. I've been to Haiti. I can tell you a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Or have you ever been to, you know, India? Or where have you been that I haven't been? And tell me a little bit about it and why I should go.
Sounds to me like these questions could actually open up conversations and networking, too.
Yes, sir.
Like if you use that one, you meet somebody at a networking event, let's say a Chambers event, you're a big supporter of the Chamber and should be. You know, you say to somebody, you know, where have you been that I haven't been? And I mean, there can be a whole story there, right? I mean, and it opens up a conversation.
Because you're going to see, as soon as you ask that, you see in their eyes, oh, I went to Hawaii, or I went to Putacana, or I went to France, I went to England.
And
all of a sudden, they could talk for hours on wherever they went.
That's a great question, right?
Yeah.
Especially for creating a relationship. And even right away, I want to answer it. You know, last winter, went down to California just to ride motorcycles on the Pacific Coast Highway.
Yes.
That was the whole purpose. And I went with my buddy, Rick. And it was a blast. You know, it was a blast. You know, it was eating fish tacos at the side of the ocean down in California and just sort of taking that time and then seeing California from a different perspective, you know, so it's always things that you can do. You know, Art, I always love hanging out with you. I always have a great show with you and that. First thing first, if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, how would they go about doing that?
Yep. Richard, thank you for that. They could certainly find me on my website, artalexander.ca.
Yeah.
You can find me there. Or my number is 204-782-4097. Art Alexander, you'll find me. I'm easy to get a hold of.
Yeah, and you're easy to find, too.
Yeah.
Lots of people know
you. Yes, thank you.
Last thought. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
My last thought would be question number 7, actually, Richard. How can I add value?
Okay, all right.
How can I add value to you? Because whether you're a radio host or an entrepreneur or president of a big company,
Or a business strategist. Don't put me on radio.
I'll be set for success. how can I bring value to you? And it might be a connection. It might be a kind word. It might be, you know, helping you find source product out of the World Trade Center, whatever it might be. So I think to add value to your family and to your customers and clients and suppliers, how can we add value to them?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Value chain of customer satisfaction and value chain of stakeholder satisfaction.
Yeah.
Art, I appreciate you hanging out with me on the show today. It's always a blast, whether I see you in person at an event or visit you in one of your companies or just hanging out, right? So thank you for hanging out. And of course,
thanks,
listeners, thank you very much for tuning in. If you have a thought, a question, an idea for a show or a guest, I'm more than happy to hear from you. You can email me at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.